Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Today we're going to be completing a message that we began last time, and we're dealing with the topic of slavery. Slavery in light of Scripture, slavery in the light of world history, and slavery in the light of American history. Obviously, the Bible tells us early in the law, in the book of Exodus, that a man could, in fact, enslave himself with debt obligations. A man could enslave himself if he broke a law. However, it was a capital offense to steal another man. So slavery, by the definition that we know it, was a capital crime in the Bible. Unfortunately, many political pragmatists try to use the sin of America from 150 years ago and make us guilty today. The sad news is, at one time, we were guilty, and America has paid an awful price and oftentimes still is. But if people really want to do something about slavery, there are more slaves on planet Earth today in 2020 than there ever was in 1760 or 1860. And in fact, the majority of slaves in the world today are in Muslim countries and communist countries, and five of the leading slave nations are right in the middle of Central Africa. If black lives really mattered, if people were really concerned about slavery, why aren't we doing something about that, rather than trying to villainize America for something we were guilty of a century and a half ago? I hope that you enjoy the conclusion to today's message entitled, The History of Slavery, History of Slavery in the Bible, History of Slavery in America.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
In light of everything that's going on as the country is burning down around us, why isn't somebody putting out the truth? The Northwest Ordinance of 1787 governed the admission of new states into the Union from the territories then north and west of the Ohio River. It forbid slavery. Thus, the new states of Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Iowa all prohibited slavery. Slavery was on the way out. And if not for the Democratic Party, check your history. Slavery would have ended 60 years before it did. In fact, it took the first Republican president whose party platform was the cornerstone. Yes, Pastor Fisher was running for governor. His cornerstone was to end the murder of preborn babies in the state of Oklahoma. Hey, the cornerstone of the Republican platform was to end slavery. But Abraham Lincoln eventually made the Emancipation Proclamation. Ladies and gentlemen, many of our founding fathers were hypocritical on this issue. You can't deny the facts. We declared that all men are created equal with unalienable rights from God. Then we refused to identify one section of American citizens as human beings. Well, folks, that was supported and endorsed and kept in place by the Democrat Supreme Court. The Dred Scott decision of 1857, they said that blacks are not actually fully human beings and should not be given unalienable rights from God. We look at that and we say, how insane! How wicked! But that's the exact same thing that's happening today with the murder of 2,500 preborn children every day in the United States of America. We have the Supreme Court that says, that's not a baby. That's not really a human. Well, tell me, what is that? By the way, anybody, we might not have everybody in here that agrees with me. You might be a so-called pro-abortion Christian. Tell me, what is that? Is that a puppy? A kitty cat? What is it? Why is it that when abortionists rip babies apart in the wombs, which is what they do, you have a living, breathing baby, heartbeat, complete system, They rip the baby apart and piece it together on the tray next to them because they cannot leave any parts inside the mother because it could cause her to be very sick. But they piece together an entire baby. You know why? Because it's a baby. And folks, we did pay for our sin of slavery. 620,000 soldiers died in the war between the states. Again, it's always wrong. The Bible calls it sin, and it's a stain on our history. But we cannot ignore it. We cannot change the past. We must remember the good things about America, and we must remember our sins and vow never to repeat them. But as we grieve over our mistakes and we learn from our mistakes, we cannot change the past. But thank God, it only took 74 years from our nation's birth to end slavery in America. We say 74 years, that's too long. Let me ask you, how about Iran today? The Fertile Crescent, the birthplace of civilization. We have slavery documented 3,500, 4,000 years ago. And one of the leading countries of slavery still in the world today is Iran, is Yemen. Look at some of these pictures. Hey, this isn't talking theoretically about some wrong that we did 200 years ago that we can't do anything about. If you want to do something about slavery, we got more slaves in the world today than ever in the 1800s. Why don't we do something about this? Oh, but that doesn't fit the political narrative. That doesn't suit our cause to bring America down. Folks, in America today, we kill 2,500 inconvenient American citizens every day, including an average of 1,876 black babies are killed every day in the United States. But apparently, those black lives don't matter. We refuse to recognize these human beings as human beings, and we legally kill them. Folks, let me tell you this. If the Lord tarries, how will future generations look back on our generations and judge us? It's easy for us to look back at what they did in the year 1600, in the year 1700, and judge them by our current moral standards. How will they in 21? By the way, the millennial generation is strongly pro-life. You know why? Because they've got eyes. They can look at an ultrasound. They can look at a 4D sonogram. They recognize what we're doing is wrong. It's killing babies. What will historians and what will the activists in the year 2100 think about our generation? I wonder if they'll be outside the halls of Congress going in wanting to tear the picture of Nancy Pelosi down off of the wall and burn it because of her devout advocation and support to continue to keep legal the murder of these citizens. And quite frankly, perhaps they'll do the same thing with the portrait of Senator James Lankford, who is a Christian that opposes slavery. Yet why don't these Christian senators rally every day, every year, like William Wilberforce did, and keep beating their hand on the desk until one day this is too done away with? Amen. Instead, we're going to change Columbus Day. Folks, we're not preaching about this morning, but we will at some point mention in the future. Understand that in the 1950s, all this became public. We had folks that went into the circles of communism as moles and found out the strategy. There was a 45-point plan for the overthrow of America. And again, I don't know if you remember, was it Brezhnev? One of the former Russian heads beat his shoe on the desk and said that they were going to take America down without firing a bullet. Khrushchev. They were going to erode us from within. Boy, aren't they doing a wonderful job. But one of their goals was to villainize our founding fathers and take away our heritage. Well, you know who they first targeted? Columbus. They targeted him 20 years ago. Speaking with some of these men in the Senate now, they said, well, only 21 states celebrates Columbus Day. You know what? When I was a kid, we all did. That goes to show you how effective they have been so far. We'll not talk about Columbus today. We don't have time, but understand this is not the end. This will not appease anybody. This will just encourage them that they are on their right path of success. Let me address two things very quickly. First of all, the subject of white privilege. What you see up there is my 96-year-old mother and my 94-year-old aunt. They grew up dirt broke in the Great Depression. Outhouses, dirt floors. In fact, when we went in to clean out Mom's house, we found that she had cornered the market in hoarding toilet paper. You know why? Because she grew up without any. So she didn't take it for granted. My grandfather, who I never met, was an itinerant farmer. They made a living by moving from state to state and working farms during harvest seasons. My mom, as a 4-year-old girl, as a 5-year-old girl, as a 6-year-old girl, actually picked cotton. Really, to help support her family. My parents got married after World War II. My dad also grew up dirt poor in Cherry Valley, Arkansas. Dad served our country in the United States Navy. Dad had scars internally that he would never talk about what he saw in battle. Dad came back permanently damaged goods from the war, never talked about how it happened or what happened. Didn't complain, just worked. They got married in 1946. This couple had so much money that their honeymoon dinner was nickel hamburgers at the White Castle Hamburger Place. Dad went to school at Oklahoma A&M on the GI Bill. They had nothing. They came out of the Great Depression. Everything that they did, they worked hard, they saved money, and they served others their entire lives. Folks, according to the Brookings Institute, if you do three things, you have a 98% chance of not living in poverty and a 75% chance of being firmly in the middle class. Those three things are, one, finish high school. Doesn't care what race you are. Doesn't care whether you're male or female. Doesn't care whether you're tall or short. These three apply to everyone. Finish high school, get a full-time job, wait until age 21 to get married and have children. If you do those three things, chances are you will not live in poverty. I did those three things. Most of you probably did those three things. That's the key. Second thing I want to talk about briefly in passing is this idea of systematic racism. Folks, America was so systematically racist that in 2008, we elected a black president with almost 70 million votes. By the way, I went back and looked at the information yesterday. Roughly 45% of Caucasians voted for Barack Obama. Roughly 95% of African Americans voted for Barack Obama. So let me ask you, are people voting based upon policy? As Martin Luther King said, I look forward to a day when a man is judged by the content of his character and not the color of his skin. Were people voting upon policy or because of a preference for a particular race? 45% of Caucasians voted for Barack Obama. That is not systematic racism. In 2012, America reelected our first black president. Again, that is not a sign of systematic racism. We have had or currently have African Americans serve as attorneys general, secretaries of state, sit on the Supreme Court, and virtually every position of authority that exists. We have a United Negro College Fund. We have Miss Black America. We have Black Entertainment Television. We have the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. We have television shows called Blackish, The Chi, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, I don't know, Queen Sugar, Atlanta, and others. America's most popular sports stars since 1990 are Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and LeBron James. Currently, 70% of the NFL is African American. 75% of the NBA is African American. Folks, that is not the numbers of a systematically racist country. Do individual racists exist? Absolutely, on both sides. But these are not the marks of a racist nation. Now, understand that Karl Marx, who was the father of communism, boy, you know what? Ideas matter. When Marx died, it was either 8 or 9 people attended his funeral. However, his book, his research, his work has left a lasting legacy, a cancer in the society of humanity. But Marx's strategy was to create tension. With Marx, it was the working class versus the 1%. Create friction, because out of friction and disagreement and fighting, that creates the environment for revolution and change. David Horowitz, whose parents were full-blown communists, and he grew up as a full-blown communist through his days in college, saw the light, and he is now a devout conservative. Horowitz said this. Now listen, he said, the issue is not the issue. We don't care whether it's Black Lives Matter. We don't care if it's male versus female. We don't care if it's equal pay. We don't care. We don't care what it is. We just want there to be tension. We want there to be a condition that gives the opportunity for revolution. And he said, the issue is not the issue. The issue is the revolution. Now I'm going to show you a quick video from Patrice Cullors, who was one of the 3 founders of the Black Lives Matter movement. Listen.
I think that the criticism is helpful. I also think that it might... I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories.
So basically, she just flat out said it. That's what they're out, and she mentions Alicia. That's another founder, one of the two. So that's 2 founders, right? That she didn't mention the other, but 2 of them are admitting right there, like their ideological foundation. Their ideological foundation is Marxism, the trained Marxists. That's exactly what she just admitted. She just said it. That wasn't a secret. I've long known that, but for those of you that have been on the fence with this, you heard it from the horse's mouth. So this is why it's not actually even a co-op. So even sometimes I misspeak and I kind of suggest that. I don't necessarily just say that. But I kind of allude to it, let's say that. But it's not necessarily a co-op when we talk about these like white leftist communists and so forth. It's not a co-op. That's what they believe in. So all of you crackheads that have been centering your last 2 weeks of your life around donating to this organization, you need to understand what you've been funding. You have been funding Marxism. Okay? It's not a secret.
Ladies and gentlemen, if the goal is black lives, then what about Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood's stated goal of exterminating minorities and the consequential killing of 1,876 black babies every now in abortion clinics? If the goal is black lives, then what about the two black teens killed in the Seattle Anarchy Zone? If the goal is black lives, then what about 18 killed and 47 wounded in one weekend alone in the city of Chicago? The whole world stopped to watch George Floyd's unfortunate death and funeral, but what about these tens of thousands of other black lives? The reality is that BLM doesn't care about black lives. The liberal press doesn't care about 47 million slaves in the world today, with at least half of those being in African nations. That doesn't fit the narrative and perpetuate the desire of revolution in the biggest impediment to ushering in the Antichrist global government on the face of the earth, which is a free United States of America. Folks, America is not perfect. We never have been, we never will be. But America is the best nation in world history. Don't take my word for it. See, it's so good, you youngsters, you aren't taught any of this anymore. 1989, the Berlin Wall fell. We all thought that communism was done. If you've been born from 1985 or latter, you may have not gotten a good idea of exactly what communism does. But don't just take my word for it. Why is it that in the 90s, family after family would risk their lives trying to escape communist Cuba by floating 90 miles in the open ocean on rickety rafts to come to the United States of America? Why? Because ideas have consequences. We're free here. It's a land of opportunity. All cultures aren't equal. Why is it that you don't have rafts going the other direction from Florida to Cuba? Why is it that in East Berlin they built a wall not to keep people out, but to keep its own citizens from escaping? We would call that prison. But young people, you aren't taught that anymore. And by the way, no one's life is better under communism. It doesn't matter what color you are. Why is it that Mexican citizens are trying to sneak across the border into the United States and not the other way around? Freedom. Not all ideas are the same. Not all cultures are as blessed as we are. And again, where on earth does any person of any color or any gender have it better than what they have here in the United States of America? You know, it's a miracle, and we're coming into land right now. I remember talking with my grandfather who, oh heavens, granddad was in his early 90s when I performed his funeral, and that was back in about 2002. But when granddad was a boy, he went to school in a wagon. I mean, think about it. In the United States of America, we were operating by horse and buggy in the year 1900. And by 1969, we had men walking on the moon. You know what creates that type of discovery? Freedom. If not for America, the world would not have the airplane, the light bulb, condensed milk, frozen food, personal computers, automobiles, microwave ovens, space shuttles, GPS systems, skyscrapers, laser printers, MRI technology, cell phones, Hubble telescopes, and on and on and on. By the way, we also wouldn't have Google or Twitter, so maybe we haven't done everything well. If not for America, and youngsters, listen to this. Oldsters, remember this. Europe would be 80 years into the reign of the Third Reich. And the Pacific Rim would be ruled by Imperial Japan. At one time, in fact, throughout all history, when two countries went to war and one country whipped the other one, they either killed all the men or enslaved all the men. Only in the United States of America do you attack us, we kick your butt, and then we rebuild you and leave you freer and better than what you were before you attacked us. Ladies and gentlemen, America is not perfect. We were not in 1776, and we aren't now. But what Satan has intended for evil, God has used for good. Let me ask you this one question. Think about it. Is Jesus really the only way to heaven? Amen. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. Jesus in Gethsemane prayed, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. There was no other way. He went to the cross for the sins of all humanity. We're all descendants of Adam. Now, folks, let me ask you this. If Jesus is the only way, then it is a good thing that the pilgrims came to North America. Is it a good thing that we have so many of our historical African American culture steeped in the Bible? Yeah. What Satan meant for evil, and it was evil. But God, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. What Satan intended for evil, God has used for good. With that, let me close by saying happy 244th birthday to the United States of America.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.